Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. This is the Financial Survival Network.
Financial Survival Network is presented to you by Regal Assets. Buy and sell physical gold and silver through your existing retirement plan 100% tax-free with Regal Assets. If you want to include physical gold or silver in your existing IRA or old 401k, request your free investment kit, which was recently featured in the Forbes and Smart Money Wall Street Journal magazines. Call toll-free 855-678-6620, 855-678-6620, or visit regalassets.com. 1490 WGCH, this is Kerry Lutz. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. The month has come and the month has gone. It was very emotional, a lot of ups and downs, but the numbers tell an entirely different story. And here to help us make a little bit of sense of them is Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. Mickey, how are you?
I'm well, Kerry. How are you?
Doing good. I'm doing good. I'm kind of ready for the year to be over. I had enough of it, and hopefully 2013 will be better in a lot of respects, but I'm not overly optimistic for it. But in the meantime, we have now, and the numbers are telling an interesting story, aren't they?
Well, they are, but, you know, the recent election can probably be summed up in one sentence. When Romney said, "When I'm elected, I will put Americans back to work," and 51 of the voters said, "Screw you." So it's the state of affairs in America now, right?
Yeah, well, but who really believed the guy anyway? I didn't believe anything he said.
Well, none of us did, but it's interesting to think that 51% of Americans, I think something like 48%, get most of their income from a government check. I think that was reflected in the election. Neither here nor there for me as a libertarian. So, yeah, the markets were flat over the month after a very big pre- and post-election sell-off. They ended up flat. That would include the Dow Jones, the S&P. NASDAQ was up a little bit. Russell 2000. Emerging markets all flat. The only thing that happened was there was a tax loss sell-off in the Toronto Venture Exchange. It's now approaching its 3.5-year low, which came as we were coming the rally out of the global economic crisis. So as of today, we hit the yearly low, which was established back in July, and it looks like we're going lower with a couple of weeks of tax loss selling remaining.
Yeah, tax loss selling is a much bigger factor in Canada due to their tax laws than the U.S., right?
Oh, absolutely. They can carry tax losses back, I think, 3 years, whereas we can only carry them forward. So they can carry some of their tax losses generated this year back to 2009, which was one of the best years ever in the venture exchange market, and also 2010 was even better. So the Canadians can do that for the next basically until Christmas Eve. So we've got close to three more weeks of that to go.
Yeah, and so it's an interesting unintended consequence of tax laws influencing the market for a very short period of time, obviously.
Well, it certainly is affecting what I'm doing in the market. I intend to come out of 2012 with zero capital gains, certainly on the short-term end and likely the long-term end, too. So it's certainly affecting the way I'm playing the market right now. But I think we can look forward to if the past is the key to the present, which it normally is in markets. The bottoms will be hit about mid-month, and so those are the buying opportunities we would expect. A little bit of a rally after the Canadians quit tax loss selling. We still can do that until New Year's Eve, until the markets close, a minute before market close, we can still do that. And then we'll look to a rally in January.
Yeah, kind of. And so goes January, so goes the year generally, too.
Well, not
last
year.
That's the saw. Not last year, but normally that really kind of carries through.
Yeah,
obviously.
You're right about that.
I mean, most years, but in any event, somebody will have an algorithm that explains why that happened or didn't happen, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and then we go on to the metals, which, interestingly enough, what happened to gold there? Pretty much nada.
Yeah, nada. It's range bound. The other precious metals were all up, but gold was mucking around. Part of this has to do with India has put in some policies to restrict gold imports, some taxes, excise taxes, etc. And what that has led to is a recycling of gold in India. Farmers had a very bad year, so they're not buying gold. They're actually probably selling gold, recycling gold right now, in anticipation of buying seed for next season. South Africa, the miners settled their strikes, but approximately half of the platinum miners in South Africa are cash flow negative at this time. The big winner in precious metals over the month was palladium. The specs moved in based on stronger U.S. auto sales and some better economic news coming out of China. Silver, more volatile. It's shown some strength. The gold-silver ratio is down to low 50s now, something we haven't seen. Well, actually, we've seen that for the last 3 months, but when gold goes up, silver seems to go up faster lately. The platinum to gold ratio is still in the low 90s. Makes sense that the platinum palladium ratio is now down to 2.4. The big winner on the month really was copper in industrial metals, and that has to do with stronger China data.
Right. Yep, up 3%, and it's holding up pretty good, copper, considering all the predictions we hear of horrid economic times. You know, you would think that copper would reflect that, and yet it's telling us the opposite.
Well, it is, and I think that tells us that the world's economy is probably doing better than the doomsdayers and the Mayans are telling us right now.
Yeah, that's right. The Mayan calendar, we're only 16 days away, and I think it's a bunch of garbage myself. I've never believed it. Hopefully, we'll be around to talk about it at the end of the year, the beginning of next year when we do our annual review, so we can both say poo-poo to it. But
well, we'll say poo-poo now.
I mean, they've been
I'm not a believer. No. So,
hey, they've been predicting the end of the world, you know, since the world, since human beings had consciousness and banded together in cities. Originally, eclipses, they believed that was the end of the world. And, you know, we've gone on from there. Maybe there are some legitimate threats to our survival, but I don't think that the calendar.
The end of the world, Kerry.
End of humankind.
Oh, and that's the end of the world?
The end of the world as we know it.
Whatever. World's been around for 4.5 billion years, and
obviously.
Physicists say it's going to be around another, 10 billion or something like that. So
sure.
That'll be the end of the world when the sun blows up. So
yeah, well, it's a relative term, because if a tree falls and there's nobody there to hear it, did it fall? You know, it's kind of that relativistic look on things. And then we hit our energy sector, which, again, is pretty lackluster. Up a little, down a little, not a lot going on there either.
No, Brent and WTI both up 2.5-3% over the month. The big discrepancy or arbitrage, if you will, between Brent and WTI is at 1.3, same as it was last month. That's at least a year-long high, if not longer. A lot of this has to do with what's now becoming a shale oil glut in the United States.
That's pretty
we don't
funny.
Have refining capacity. We're finding too much oil. U.S. production will hit a 14-year high this year, and it's going up again. Peak oil, my such and such. You know?
That's another thing.
There's certainly peak oil in fields and regions, but the idea that we're going to run out of oil, we have an infinite supply of hydrocarbons on this planet. Basically, we had something on the order of 200 million years of time to make oil and coal and natural gas and all those sorts of goodies, and it's not going to be depleted in our lifetimes or your children's lifetimes or their grandchildren's lifetimes. So it just gets harder to get out of the ground, but
It's a cost factor.
I'm a cornucopian, and the only thing I've ever known that the world has run out of, the only natural resource, is bird guano. And we very soon found something to replace bird guano with nitrates in chili. And then we learned how to make nitrates from atmospheric nitrogen. So there's something called good old human ingenuity and technology and supply demand fundamentals that will ensure that we have whatever we need whenever we need it.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you there. And
yeah, so enough of editorializing now. Let's finish off energy and talk about uranium.
Sure.
It hit a year-and-a-half low, bounced off the $40 spot price, didn't stay there very long. It's been on the uptick. We're now at finished the month at $41.75, so it's bounced very well off the low. Still down 3% over the month, but looking stronger now. Over 6 months, though, uranium price is down a whopping 20% from $52 to basically $42. But this is a contrarian play. We've got the Russian megatons and megawatts program ending. That's going to take about somewhere 13-14% of the supply off the market as of a year from now. I remain a long-term uranium bull.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's kind of following a similar pattern to what natural gas did earlier in the year before it bounced back. You know,
yeah,
it really looks similar.
Forgot to address that, but gas has come back to close the month at 356, up about 1% over the month. It came off some mid-month highs. We've had very mild weather in the central U.S. I was in St. Louis and southern Missouri the past week, and the thermometer was hitting 70 to 75 degrees records day after day. So that's cut back on demand. This is the time of year that gas prices are very much dependent on the weather.
Oh, for sure. And in the Northeast, it's been pretty mild there, too. It was in the 60s yesterday and I think today. So if the winter doesn't pick up, we could be looking at prices going retreating again back to that level of earlier in the year, but that remains to be seen because there's more gas, just like the shale oil, coming onto the market than anybody knows what to do with it.
Yeah, and you sent me an interesting article this morning about North Dakota and the Bakken play and how they're flaring about 20 to 25% of the gas right now. It's quite a quandary because they're after the oil. They've got nothing, no place to send the gas, and what a waste. But, geez, that's what happens when governments get involved in markets.
And pipelines and distribution and all of that stuff because, you know, if there was an incentive there for these guys to do something with it, it wouldn't be burned off into the atmosphere. I mean, that really is it's just such waste. It really kind of turns your stomach, you know?
Yeah, it's wanton waste. It's been going on for decades in the oil business, though, and until we can get some LNG compression stations and transport this stuff over to Asia where it's really wanted, we're faced with those sorts of issues.
Yeah, and they take a little of it in Europe, too, I'm sure. So, and that brings us to our final category, which is currencies. Another thing that it's almost not worth looking at this point, you know? It's nothing. I mean, it's that.
Well, it's the same as it ever was.
Yeah.
We're exactly at the same price at the end of November that we were at the end of December, or the same ratio of the euro to the U.S. dollar at $1.30, the dollar index. $80 and change. It's a listless currency market, drifting without direction and listless, much like what's going on between Obama's Justice Executive Department and Congress right now. No direction as we approach the so-called fiscal cliff.
Yeah, which is another a story for another day, because it's...
I suppose, you
know, so. Yeah, it's... Let's not even go there. It's all been said. More importantly, we don't really need to go there, because the markets have really told us everything that we need to know about it. Right?
That's true, and we look forward to the end of tax loss season. I look forward to mid-December, when I think if the past few years are anything like this one will be, we'll start picking away some favorite stocks and look for sales opportunities in some of our better stocks in the first of the year.
Yep, I think that's probably the wise move. And we'll talk to you next month. We'll do an annual review along with a monthly review. But if the charts wind up looking pretty much where they are now, there's not going to be a lot to talk about.
No, it'll be a short and sweet one, which we're not known to doing as short interviews.
That's for sure. All right, Mickey. Hey, we'll talk to you next month. If I don't talk to you before, have a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year, and give everyone my best.
All right, Kerry. Have a happy holiday season. I'll talk to you on after the first of the year.
You got it. All right.